I want to share with you out of the context of the scriptorial passage that Sanaya read to us. It comes from Psalms 89, and I want us to share it together, and Steve's going to have it on the screen. The main two passages of our text this morning comes from Psalms 89, verses 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9. Let us read it together. It's going to be on the screen, so we'll read this translation as the New King James translation. Let us read God's word together. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. With its waves rise, you still there. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. I want to share with you with excitement and joy the title of my sermon for this morning. Remembering God's faithfulness. Remembering God's faithfulness. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Remembering God's faithfulness. Amen. We serve a faithful God, and God is able to take care of us. Amen. I want you to look closely, and thank you, Lane. You'll see the rainbow over the title. It's a beautiful reminder of God's covenant and God's faithfulness. In fact, if you have your Bibles, and you might want to leave them open to Psalms 89, or you can get a pew Bible. But if you look closely in Psalms 89, in the 29th verse, depends what translation you have, you'll see that the Bible writer, Ethan, reminds us of God's rainbow, his everlasting covenant. And God is a faithful God. Amen. I mean, he is really faithful. You can trust God. You can stand on the promises of God's word. You can depend on him. I want to share with you as it relates to a book by the name of Living Hope. And Lawrence Sneed is the writer, and Sneed says, remembrance of hope can protect us during and after and even before a storm. To have that sense of recall, of remembrance, and to remember the goodness of God and how gracious God is to each and every one of us. It is important for us to remember as we look at this passage of scripture how God's word continues to breathe into our lives and make a defining moment into our everyday experiences. I want to share with you that my roommate in seminary, only had two roommates in my life, one that I've been married to for 34 years and counting. Yeah. And the other one by the name of the Reverend Howard Williamson. He's a district superintendent in the Bahamas. And so we were communicating, of course, about the storm. And he shared with me as it relates to focusing not so much on the storm. And the storm hit them, as we all know, severely. But focus on God. God's goodness. God's goodness. And throughout that conversation, I meditated on Psalms 89, verses 8 and 9, as it talks about God being the ruler of the seas. He's even the ruler of our lives. Amen. And God will continue to sustain us and keep us each and every day if we stay in the will and the way of God. Now look closely, because here it goes. I want to share with you from the book of Psalms a couple of things that you might want to write them down. And it's a question that comes up, who is Ethan? Who is Ethan? Look to your neighbor and say, who is Ethan? Oh, that's a good question. Because if you look at Psalms 89, this psalm is not written by David, the second king of Israel, the shepherd boy. This song comes from the pen of Ethan. Bless you. And you see the backdrop of the music bars. And if you look closely at Ethan's life, you'll notice a couple things. Ethan comes along out of the tribe of Levi. You remember when I was sharing and preaching from the book of Leviticus, The book of Leviticus, you know, Genesis, Exodus, and what? Yeah, that's it. You got it. The third book of Bible. The tribe of Levi. They shape the worship experience of the people of God. Here's a young man coming along by the name of Ethan. Now, there are six other people in the Bible with that name as well. But Ethan comes from the tribe of Levi, and he comes as part of being on a worship team. His responsibility, check it out, I want you to look in the Bibles. His responsibility was this. That's it. He played the cymbals. He played, thank you. He played the cymbals. But he also worshiped God. He was a young man. You young people who are in the balcony, those of you on the floor, don't overlook worshiping God in the days of your youth. Don't miss it. Worship the Creator. Ethan comes along and he's worshiping God, and he comes out of that experience, and guess what? Ethan was faithful to God and God was faithful to him, so much so we even have in Psalms a whole entire, not chapter, but number. Number 89 comes from the pen of Ethan, not David. Now, mind you, the book of Psalms has how many numbers? 150, not chapters, 150 that are right there in the book of Psalms. And Psalms teach us how to worship. The good thing about the book of Psalms is if you're trying to help someone learn the Bible and how to read the Bible, please do not tell them to start at the book of Genesis. Don't tell them to go to the last book, Revelation. They're going to be confused, disturbed. In Genesis, you see a whole lot of folks disobeying God. In Revelation, it's kind of spooky and scary. Hello? If you really want to help them, tell them to go to the book of Psalms or even start at the book of Proverbs, because Ethan, the backdrop of his name, Ethan means a person of wisdom, a noble person, a person who has learned, a person who will study. The book of Psalms helps us because it deals with our everyday experiences. Everything that goes on in our lives, you can read it through the book of Psalms. It helps us and navigate us as it relates to our relationship with God. If you have your Bibles, look at the book of Psalms. If you look at Psalms 1, it reminds us, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and does he meditate, hallelujah, day and night. If a person's going through a loved one who's just passed, you just tell them, look at Psalms 23. You know it by heart. The fourth verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not what? Keep going. Thou art with me. It reminds us of God being with us. You look at the book of Psalms and look how Ethan comes along at the right time in the right place, because his relationship was right with God. He is helping God's people in worshiping God. Now, David, he only recorded 73 Psalms out of the 150. Other writers shared in shaping what we have today as the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms is consistent of five sections, of five books. That's how it is in Hebrew, of five books. It's very important for us to remember. Watch this, I'm going somewhere. The book of Psalms is categorized in five books. And if you look closely, right here, we're in book number 3. In fact, it is the last book of number 3, because if you look at Psalms 89, keep your Bibles open, Psalms 89, check it out. You'll see that Ethan has the last book in the third section, or the third book of Psalms. And how do we know when a book is in? I'm glad you asked. Because you'll see a double standard, a word that is a churchy word, you'll see a double amen, amen. Look right there at the last verse. You'll see amen, amen. God is the God forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Somebody ought to say teach. Yeah, you need to know that. Because the number five is important. The number five represents worshiping and relationship with God. The number five was so important because if you look at the book of Psalms, it is built upon the first five books of the Bible. You know those first five books. I guarantee you if I walk out with this microphone, you'll get it right for $100. What are they? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Boy, I'm glad I didn't give that microphone up. Amen. Yeah, that's it. The book of Psalms is a parallel from the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, the laws. And it is shaped that way in order to lead us in worship. So Ethan comes on the scene and Ethan loves music. How many out there just love music? Yeah, he was a lover of music. He just loved music. How many of you just enjoy playing music? Just raise your hands. We'll take a quick survey. Come on. How many of you don't mind early in the morning playing music? How many of you don't mind singing in the shower, even though you might be off key, playing music? I'll put up two hands. Amen. Yeah. Music helps us. Music can calm an atmosphere. Music can help a person not to be so stressful. Hello, somebody need to play some music when you're leaving. Yeah. Music has a way of ministering to us. In the midst of us singing hymn number 77, how great is our God, how great thou art. It is a clear reminder to Caesar as he was hearing that music and now he's heading to the hospital that the greatness of God is not only in this sanctuary, but now it's going with him. That's the greatness of God. Music has a way of speaking to us in many different forms and many different places. You couples who are seated together, I'm not going to go with our young folks right now who are dating, and we have some who are dating. I see you, some in the balcony, some around here. Okay. All right. Hang in there. Amen. Have your seatbelt on, though. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, and the reason I say that, because I was talking to my nephew who is 10 years, I'm sorry, he's in 10th grade, and he was telling me when he was hearing music play, he said, oh, that's my song, that's my song. Uncle Kevin, that's my song. Boy, that is the song. And then another song came on, and guess what he said? That's my song, that's my song. He was talking about a relationship with a young lady he's dating. For those of you who are seasoned veterans, help me, Holy Ghost. You look at your loved one and you know you have that special song. Every time that song comes on, that song expresses what you really can't express, and it's done through a song. I want to invite you and call your attention immediately after this worship experience. If you're engaged or married, we want to invite you to our marriage retreat in November. And you can see Beverly and Reverend Waters immediately after this worship experience to learn more about it. It is great and fantastic. In fact, there are music that is playing as couples looking at each other with their hearts just, you know how it beats? Some of you haven't lost that beat, have you? All right, we're cool. But music was extremely important, not only to Ethan, but also in our lives. And if you look at Ethan as he played and he stayed in his lane and he played the cymbals as he was worshiping God, it was out of his experience in the midst of what he was going through in this song that he shares and reminds himself by having a conversation with God and remembering God's faithfulness. Have you been there before? Now, one thing about the book of Psalms, if you read the book of Psalms and you notice the book of Psalms, most of the Psalms start out with folks complaining. We don't do that here in our church, do you? No, because we're going through a 90-day process of not complaining. Hello. But this psalm, it starts out with praise, but it ends with a complaint. And in the midst of hearing that complaint, Ethan realized the faithfulness of God. And he shares God's faithfulness in the last verse. But if you look closely in the first four verses of this chapter, you'll see how he's worshiping God. He's giving all the praises to God. Even though there's a storm in his life, he continues to praise God. I don't want you to show your hands, but how many of you in the midst when you heard that a storm was coming our way, you started sharing your petitions with God? You started sharing what you promised God, if you just bring me through this storm. Hello. Are you going to keep those promises? You look at Ethan and how he was expressing his worship to God. He was expressing his worship to God as he was going through his storm. It is a clear reminder that there are storms even in our lives, but when there are storms in other people's lives, we ought to respond. You look at this next slide here. It's a great opportunity for us to respond. We could have been there. But thanks be to God. Our God is a great God. I don't know why he did it, but he spared us. He protected us. And now it's our time to show our generosity to others and express our love on behalf of God. Our hands, our feet, our supplies, our resources should be willing to go and to minister to other people. You look closely as we share and look here at the next slide that we have here, and it's a question. Have you ever experienced storms in your life? Ask your neighbor that question. Yeah, storms. I mean, there's all types of storms that happens in life. You don't believe that? I want you to check this out. Have you ever been missing your glasses and you had them on? Have you ever been walking around, ladies, and you've been looking for your purse? Oh, number one, America's team, the Miami Dolphins. You're looking for your Miami Dolphins purse, and you can't find it. Looking for your iPad. Looking for your keys, and you have your keys in your hand. All of those items that you see up there, they can create storms as we're looking for our wallet, as we're looking for our animals, looking for our cell phone. You go upstairs, I dare you, and take one person, one student up there, cell phone, and said, I'm going to hold it to next Sunday, and you'll see how holy they are. Yeah. That can create a storm. A storm. If you have your identity stolen, that can create a storm. How do we worship God in the midst of the storm? Ethan would say, just keep on praising God. Keep on acknowledging God. Oh, he had his moments of frustration. But then he looked at verse 8 and 9 and he realized that God was in charge of the seas, of the waves, of the water. That God indeed was still God and that he needed to worship God and to give God all the praise and all the glory. You look here at our next bullet point that we have on the screen. There are three terms throughout this passage that I want to share with you that are extremely important. Number one, faithfulness. Faithfulness, say faithfulness. Seven times, and I'm going to cite them for you. I have them here on my little cheat sheet. Seven times he acknowledges God's faithfulness. Look at verse 1, verse 2, verse 8, verse 24, verse 33, and 37. Seven times. How many of you know the number 7 represents what? Completion. Wholeness. He acknowledges the wholeness, the completion of God, that God was still faithful. In the midst of David's experience, Ethan is writing this now, and he's referring to David. In the midst of his experiences, in the midst of his ups and downs, his highs and his valley lows, God is right there. Whatever you and I go through, remember, God is there. Ethan looks at David. And he's reminded of God's servant. God says, my servant David And God sustained David in the midst of all of his turmoil, in the midst of all of his joys, in the midst of all of his frustration. David could rely upon God. You want to know why David is the author of 73 Psalms? Because David continued to praise God even when he committed sin, even when he failed God, even when he was running away from King Saul, he continued to worship God. A storm will either draw you close to God, or guess what? It'll draw you away from God. And lastly, the throne. He's reminded that God is still on the throne. A category one, a category two, a category three, category four, category five can't outdo our God. Our God is great, and he's still on the throne. God continues to sustain and keep his promises. It doesn't matter which way the wind blows. God is still faithful to you and to me. Amen. Even when we're unfaithful to God and not totally sold out for God, he continues to bless us over and over again. Andre Crouch said it this way: I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he sacrificed his life, but I'm glad. I'm so glad that he did. Let me close by sharing this with you. It is in the Synoptic Gospels. It's a story, a beautiful story. It's about Jesus and his disciples. Jesus was already sharing the word of God, and he got a little tired. He was human and divine. The Bible says in Matthew, Mark and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, because they all have similar stories, that in the midst of them sharing, Jesus told them, it's time for us to go on the other side. They got on a boat. It was all calm, all cool. How do we know? Because the Bible says Jesus went to the lower part of the boat, and he what? Yeah, he went to sleep. It's good to know this morning, regardless how storms come and regardless of how storms go, Jesus is still on the boat. He will be with us. In the midst of the disciples being frantically, because the weather had changed, you know, if you look closely, you'll see how it's all calm at the beginning. And if you look on the screen, you'll see it's a sense of a calming sea. But ask yourself this question. Let's read it together. What is the significance of Jesus calming the storm? Same significance today. Jesus was asleep on the boat. He had the audacity to go to sleep, and then everything turned. Everything got dark and dismal. But yet the disciples were frantically running around, and they noticed he was asleep. They woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What did Jesus do? He got up and he said, peace be still. Peace be still. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but if you're experiencing a storm, I'm not talking about the past storm, a storm today, hang on to these words. Peace be still. Jesus has not gotten off your boat. He's right there in the midst of the boat. And he wants you to stand on the promises of God. And that's what we can stand on. Other people will promise you things, but you heard it in the children's message. They might not keep that promise. But I dare you to step out on faith. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God will keep his promises. Amen. And you can stand on the promises of God. You look at the disciples and their response when Jesus says, peace be still. They ask the question, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. That is the Son of God. That is the Prince of Peace. That is our Lord and Savior. That is our King of Kings. That is our eternal God. That is Jesus Christ who comes to calm our storms. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Won't you stand? Won't you stand? Well, you know what? let's just be seated. We're going to sing this hymn and we're going to be seated until we get to the last verse. That way it gives ushers time to receive our offering. Standing on the promises of God. Hymn number 374. Our ushers are coming at this time.